All right, everybody, come on in, grab a seat. It's good to have you tonight. Happy Wednesday, everybody. You're watching on live stream wherever you're at. It's good to have you, YouTube, Facebook, wherever else we're at tonight. But again, happy Wednesday. Not much to say other than I'm looking forward to worshiping Jesus with you tonight for a couple moments. So how about this? How about this? I don't know what your day was like today. I had a pretty good day. How many of y'all had a pretty good day? How many of you, your day wasn't pretty good? Anybody? Okay. For whatever your reason, your day wasn't pretty good, that's okay. Because God wants to be with us tonight, regardless of whatever your day was like. And we believe that when we worship and we praise God, well, he inhabits the praise of his people. He comes and he's with us, and his spirit spends time with us and fills the place. And he meets us right where we are. And I'm so thankful for that, because if God didn't meet me right where I am, I wouldn't know where to go. And he comes after us, and I'm so thankful for it. We're going to enter into his presence with praise and worship tonight. So how about this? Let's everybody stand on your feet. And let's invite the Holy Spirit to be with us tonight. Lord, we thank you that you are good and you are wonderful and your name is holy. And we praise you because, well, you are who you are. And I pray, Lord, that you are here with us tonight in a very tangible, in a very real way. There's not a person in the house tonight that doesn't feel your presence, that doesn't know that you're here with us. Lord, that living by faith is just invoking to live life with you. And this relationship, this wonderful relationship that we have, I pray we mingle in it tonight in our time of song. So how about this? Everybody in the house, just raise your hands up and ask the Holy Spirit to be with us tonight. Lord, we ask you to come. Fill the place, Lord. Fill the place. Fill the house. No life left untouched by you tonight, in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask these things for your glory. We ask them for your honor, because we lift you up high in the sanctuary. Oh, Lord Jesus, worthy to be praised. Yes, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
All throughout my history, your faithfulness has walked beside me. The winter storms made way for spring. In every season, from where goodness all over my life, all over my life.
us the evidence of his goodness. The tomb is empty. There's no man on a cross anymore. Amen. We're doing a new song tonight. And it's all about stepping out in faith of whatever he has called you to do. He will show up. I can't remember a story in the scriptures where he didn't show up when he called someone to do it. The widow who gave Elijah the last of her and her son's food, the Lord provided for her until the famine was over. When the Lord called David to defeat Goliath, did he leave him? No. When Moses put his rod in the sea, God showed up. He honored their faith, amen? And so that's what this song is all about.
We have it. Yes, our testimony is the living proof. And if you doubt the evidence that he is able, open your eyes, people, get ready. Just build an altar, drench it in water. Okay. deserve my every breath, my life, and my song. Thank you.
Beautiful.
just fix our eyes on you tonight. We just give you our attention and our focus, knowing that you have every answer to every problem, knowing that you can supply any need according to your riches and your glory, Lord, that you hold every key to every chain. We thank you, God, for calling our name, for hearing our cry and for answering us. We just say, come and have your way today. In the name above every other name, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're so glad to have you here with us. Kids, you're dismissed, and you are dismissed as well.
My goodness, good to have you tonight. Got youth hangout and kids' church kind of drained out the sanctuary a little bit. That's all right. I'm glad you're here. Tithe and offering. If you have some giving tonight, as always, the envelopes are in chairs in front of you. If there's not one there, you can wave them around, wave your hand around, wave your paw around, whatever you got. And somebody will help you out. All right. You can prep that. I'm going to pray over it. And if you have something, you can bring it. Lord, we thank you to be here tonight. Spend time in fellowship with family of faith. Lord, that we live by faith. Lord, we value relationships, Lord. And we pray that we're rescuers when we head out into the world, getting in on what you're up to. And Lord, but I pray we're being equipped tonight in those things. And as we give, Lord, it's another step of learning and growing and all of the things, Lord, that you are glory by glory changing us into. And I thank you for every step that we take in our growth, Lord. And even when it's hard, even when it's a struggle, I thank you for those steps. We consider it joy to be in process. And Lord, you raise us up. Lord, raise us up. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. So if you have something, you can bring it. One little side note, Joy Fellowship was planning on meeting Sunday, but they realized it's labor, what is it, Memorial Day this week, right? Memorial Day weekend, so they're not going to have Joy Fellowship Sunday night and have your Memorial Day plans. So just so you're aware of that. But get your Bibles out. And we're going to spend a few minutes here in the Word tonight. So get your Bibles out and head to Jeremiah chapter 31. We're actually going to end up in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, but I need to prep you
for that passage with a couple of other passages. So Jeremiah 31, we've been on the subject of simply knowing God. In our knowing God, certain people say, well, it's more important to be known by Him. He knows you. Okay, and yes, there's an aspect of Him knowing you. In other words, you are giving yourself to Him. I think that's really what they're after. So I know He knows me, but I want to know Him too, right? And again, this is the relational aspect of the Christian faith that removes it from simply being religious ritual, that we are in the practice of relationship. But relationship happens because you pay attention and you take time. And you know, it can happen in every relationship that you have in life. You can be married, but not be much more than glorified roommates if you're not careful. You can have kids, but really not have relationship with them. Well, I provide for them. Okay, that's wonderful. We give them a house to live in. I'm thankful. But do you have relationship with your kids? Your relationship across the board happens because of interaction and activity. And we want to be people who are growing in our relationship with God. I was just reading something yesterday about the Trinity, and some guy was just talking about some theology of the Trinity. One aspect, there is a indescribable or a place, or understanding of God that is bigger than us. That's why when you take the concept of the Trinity, you can explain it, but you can't give it all. There's a certain mysterious aspect to it, all right? But yet, at the same time, I want to know Him to the greatest extent that I can. And I think we want to know Him in aspects of way that it benefits us, and nothing wrong with that. I want to know God as my healer. Now, I understand it's a benefit to me. I want to know God as my provider, right? That's a benefit to me. I want to know God as my deliverer, amen. So at different places in your life, in different seasons of life, and different things that you encounter in life, you will discover Him in new ways. It's kind of like I can read in the Bible and see that Jesus healed people physically, amen, right? But I never know it until I need it, if you see what I mean. Then the moment I'm asking or I'm praying, I'm believing, I'm standing in faith for physical healing, I can meet Him in a relational aspect there, okay? But I just don't want to know Him in ways that simply benefit me as I get something. That's when God just turns into the cosmic ATM machine. I just go to Him when I need something. Yes, cast your cares upon Him. Yes, go to Him. But go to Him just to simply be with Him and know Him. Okay? And when you do that, there is the strength of relationship that will kind of be the base of how you live life. And so last week, what happens is you can tell when somebody is literally after knowing Him in that way, because they will in turn, because they start to know Him. So in other words, when I got saved, I grew up in church, I knew God, and there were certain times of my young childhood, even to young teenage years, where I wanted to know Him. Then I spent a long period of years away from Him. So when I came to Him, I knew Him, but I didn't know Him. You know what I mean? I got saved not because I wanted to know God. I got saved because I want to go to hell. I got saved because I knew I needed forgiven, but I didn't get saved because I'm like, but yeah, I want to have a close relationship with you. I wanted a benefit. Nothing wrong with that. There's all sorts of people that come to know Him because of that. But at some point, the switch needs to turn in your brain. Okay, yes, He is a good Father, and He will provide, and He will do all the things that we need. But I gotta know Him. In other words, grow in love for Him. Love Him, not just love what He gives me. And there has to be a change somewhere in there. And you find when people get that switch, that it's just a light bulb about that aspect goes off in their head, as we were talking last week, you will begin to offer your body, yourself, your being. You will present your being to him as a sacrifice of worship. Okay? You will never turn the entirety of your life over to him unless you are offering yourself as a sacrifice of worship. And that's a response because you're starting to know him. And this wonder and this awe of this incredible God is in front of you wanting to be with you. You respond with your life. Now, I want to show you another aspect of a response to knowing him tonight. But I need to set it up with a couple passages of scripture that seem unrelated. But Paul, where we go later in 2 Corinthians 3, he pulls on both these passages of scripture. So, Jeremiah 31 and verse 31. And this is Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, one of the great prophets that we find in our Old Testament, talking about the coming of a new covenant. He's prophesying about it. He says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke," and we know that they broke it, "though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord." Now watch what it says here. "I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts." And that writing on their hearts is what Paul draws on, what we're going to read in a few moments. "And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall know me." In other words, there's a close relational aspect that's happening. "From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more." So Jeremiah is prophesying about the new covenant that comes through Jesus, right? And now he's talking about Israel and Judah receiving this, but we know in Jesus it's fulfilled and it's opened up to all people. That includes us Gentiles, right? Now jump back in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 34. We'll read this here, then go to 2 Corinthians 3 and see how Paul draws these things together. Exodus 34 and verse 29. This is Moses receiving the new tablets, and he's on Mount Sinai with God, okay? Exodus 34, 29. "When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of testimony in his hand as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone, for he had been talking with God. And Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him." This is sort of, you see the transfiguration later, there was sort of this language happening there. So Moses met with God, and literally his face was shining with the radiance of the glory of God. A physical phenomenon was happening. Verse 31. "But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. And whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. But when he came out and he told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, and the skin of Moses' face was shining, and Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with them." So we have a period of time that Moses was meeting with God, as the Bible would say, face to face, as a friend would meet with a friend. And when he returned from these encounters, his face would be shining with the glory of God. So much so, this is not talking some spiritual essence here. It's talking literally with shining. And when people saw him, they're like, "Yep, I'm not going near that stuff right there. That's a little scary." I'm not sure what's going on here. Maybe he got caught in some radiation, or I don't know what's happening. You know, he's shining. So to deal with this, Moses was literally wearing a veil on his face. And he'd wear this veil until he'd go meet with God again. He'd take the veil off to speak with God. He'd come out and tell the people what happened, and he'd put the veil on. His face was shining. Now, those two passages we just read, the new covenant written on the hearts and the veil of Moses because his face was shining, they seem sort of unrelated, but Paul brings them together. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll start in verse 1 and we'll read down a few verses together. Says there, Paul writes, second letter to the Corinthian church, and by the way, the first and second Corinthians, the letters there, we know that there was some interaction back and forth. There may have been a letter coming from the people that Paul's responding to, so there's more going on than we have here in our New Testament. But here's what Paul writes there. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? So one thing that Paul consistently dealt with, and this is sort of beside the point, but just explain this a little bit, is people question his authority to do what he did, or they questioned the works that were coming from his work for the ministry. And I can tell you straight up, in Paul's shoes, this happens a lot. And people question what you do, why do you do this, why don't you teach this, why don't you do that, I don't understand this, I don't like you did that. Well, Paul's sort of responding to some of that stuff right here. But watch how he responds. You yourselves are our letter of recommendation. Watch this. Written on our hearts. And now again, he's drawing from that Jeremiah chapter or few verses we just read. To be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the human heart. That's the drawing from Jeremiah. This new covenant. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Now, again, Paul is making a good point here. I don't have to prove anything for myself. You're our proof. And by the way, it's the Spirit who does this anyways. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. That letter kills, he's referencing the law. The law only gives us what our sin is, but it cannot give us life, but it is the Spirit that gives us life. And that's that whole new covenant thing that Jeremiah was talking about. Verse 7. Now, if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, again, that's the law. Moses came down from the mountain with the law, inscribed on the tablets, Ten Commandments, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? Now, see what he's saying there. Moses receives these tablets, Ten Commandments. He comes down from the mountain. He starts to meet with God. His face is shining. And Paul is saying, imagine, because what Moses was bringing the law couldn't do the whole deal. Put it in that terminology. How much more is the glory of the work of God in the new covenant, in the work of the Spirit, greater than the glory that made Moses' face shine? That's what he's getting at here. He's drawing that passage. Let's keep reading. Verse 9. For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, once had glory has come to have no glory at all. That's the law. Because of the glory that surpasses it, the new covenant. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, the law, much more is more permanent to have what is more permanent have glory, new covenant. And since we have such hope, we are very bold, not like Moses who would put a veil over his face so the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end, but their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted. But it's only through Jesus that it's taken away. New Covenant. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. In other words, they're not seeing Jesus. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now, where the Spirit is, or the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what?
Freedom.
Say it again.
Freedom.
Freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Other translations say glory to glory. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The glory of the new covenant, in other words, the glory of the work of Jesus, bringing fulfillment what could not bring us life, which is death brought by the law, is a glory that, like Moses was hiding the former glory, we don't hide that glory any longer. And it doesn't show up because our face shines. I don't know, maybe you'd like that. I'm not sure I would, but that's up to you, all right? But in our hearts. Because again, Jeremiah, this new covenant is not written in stone tablets, but it's written on our hearts. That's the prophecy of the new covenant. And because this relationship with God, this newness of God, the work of the Spirit is in us, written on our hearts, it's our testimony, we begin a transformation of glory to glory with unveiled faces for all to see. So here's the thing. For those that really desire to know him, here's what I know, is that there will be an ongoing life process of this glory bringing transformation in your life, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You see that? Because wherever God is doing something, the Holy Spirit is doing a work, and wherever the Holy Spirit is doing a work, there is freedom. You see that? That is the work of the Spirit. The Spirit always brings newness. The Spirit always brings life. The work of the Spirit in the new covenant is doing what the old covenant could not do. The old covenant just showed us our sin, but couldn't bring us new life in spite of it. But that's the work of God. Now, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That is a direct contrast with the law there, okay? Because the law could not, but the Spirit does, so there's a contrast with that. But yet we know, because the Spirit is freedom, it comes with the power of God. Which is why we always say, listen, we always say there's nobody too far gone from the freedom of the Holy Spirit. If why was Moses' face shining? He was meeting with God face to face as a friend would meet with a friend. His face would shine. The Holy Spirit can do above and beyond in freedom in our lives if we are willing to pay attention in relationship with God. You hear me? Again, you can claim the Christian faith. You can do religious activity, but those things don't bring freedom. They can be a foundation for the Spirit, but that's if you see the things we do that we call religious activity with relationship in mind. You see what I'm getting at? So when you pray, why do you pray? For all the reasons that we come to God and bring our requests and these sort of things, underlying all of that is, I want to know you. You see? This glory to glory, greater than the former glory that's shown on Moses' face through the old covenant, will be active in your life if you are paying attention to what God's doing. But again, we can claim all these things that are connected to the Christian faith. But you can call yourself a Christian and live your life totally apart from the power of the Spirit. When you are saved, who owns you? Huh? Who owns you? God does. Are you marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit reside inside of you in regeneration? You belong to Him. You belong to no other. You are His. But what do you do after that? Again, you can be with your spouse, but be nothing but glorified roommates. And have no relationship and have no intimacy and have no effect on one another. Right? It can be the same way with God. You can have a point of salvation and you can have a moment where the ownership of God is on you and in you, but now what? Again, the Spirit of the Lord that brings freedom through ongoing activity. Are you made a new creation? But now you must work it out, ongoing activity, right? You've been saved and bought with a price, but yet we must work out our salvation. And there's this duality there that we have to understand. And if the power of the Spirit brings greater glory than the former covenant, then guess what? The power of the Spirit will take you in process. That will bring progress. And we will change from glory to glory. Now again, remember, this kingdom of God thing we were talking about, 30, 60, 100 fold. You will be somewhere in that parameter. Different people, different places, different rates, different seasons, different times. We're not all going to be changed from glory to glory the same way. Right? But yet there will be change. So to come back to this, so those people who are not only interested, but pursue to know God. In a certain way, it's like getting up on Mount Sinai with God. Relational presence. Relational presence will ultimately be marked by change. So again, I brought this up maybe last week or the week before to make a point. I'm not sure I made it well. You've been around people when you're struggling with something or they just say, if you just pray more, just read your Bible more. Listen, I think they may be missing the point, but the nugget of truth in there, I think what should be getting at is when you pray more, you're drawing relationally with God. When you read your Bible more, you're drawing relationally with God. That's what you need. And those are avenues to it. So if somebody comes to me for counseling and they want help, one of the first questions I'm going to ask is, tell me about the time you spend with God. And some people get frustrated about that. We try trying to make me do religious activity to fix this? Yes. Because here's what I know. I can counsel somebody till I am blue in the face. And if you're not personally getting with God, it ultimately isn't going to do anything. Because I can't fix you anyways. You know how many people get frustrated at me because I can't fix them? I tell you from the start, I can't fix you. But I can help point you in the right direction to be with the one who can. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, not where Pastor Kylan is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Not me. So, what are you doing to allow the Spirit to work in a way that He can bring freedom? You got to hang up with a certain sin. where the Spirit of the Lord is, there can be freedom. There's an area of your life where the enemy just keeps shooting those fiery darts, and for some reason your shield of faith isn't right, and you keep getting stuck with those things. Okay. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. We'll show you how to turn your shield over. You got some hang-ups because of things in your past. Okay, I get it. It happens. But I do know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Right? But that is allowing and being in such a way of a rhythm of life, of being with God, that you're active with Him so the Spirit can be free in your life to do what only He can do. You see? That's why I said last week, closing out, listen, if I knew that every person that attended this church was actively pursuing moments with God, I would be like, we're going to make it. You see how I'm getting at? We're going to make it. Because you're getting with the one who can help you. Because you're getting with the one that will bring you freedom. You're getting with the one that can help fix you. Now, I know we all want fixed by tomorrow, but it doesn't happen that way. Remember, the plant grows like a plant. The Thomases, I just call you Thomases, were doing their planting this week. It's going to take the entire season for those beans to grow. Thomas, can you make those beans grow any faster than they're going to grow? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. It takes the season. The problem is we don't stick with these things until the season comes ripe and the harvest comes. We give up. We quit. We get frustrated. Get mad at God. Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you fix this? Why didn't you do that? And the whole time he's like, it's happening. Open your eyes. But it's not easy, bud. Notice changing the translations that put that from glory to glory. It's not zip to the ultimate glory. Glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. And we just keep growing. And all of that is evidence of the freedom of the Spirit moving in your life. When I first started out being a youth pastor, being young and unknowing as I was, I just expected Jesus to show up, blow everybody out of the room. When we walked back in, everything would be great. We prayed for you enough, you fell on the floor a couple times maybe. If I got you memorized enough verses. But now that I've been walking with disciples in discipleship with people for 30 years, I really understand that whole business from glory to glory to glory to glory a whole lot better. And I wish it would be like you just blow us out of the room when we walk back in. Everything's great. And we're changed all the way to our final glory. Doesn't happen. That's why the Christian faith is marked by perseverance. Perseverance isn't just about you kind of putting up with some sort of persecution. It can involve that. But perseverance is the patience of the process. Persevering in everyday living by faith in spite of who I am at times. Perseverance is getting up when I've fallen down, even though I've been working on this thing for a while. That's the only way the freedom of the Spirit continues to work to take us to that next step of glory. Transformation, change. But we got to keep going and not give up. Okay? That's the calling of the Christian faith. So, to be people who are after Him relationally, it needs to be something that you desire. That you pay attention. Have you ever been trying to tell your kids something and they're not listening to you? They simply will not pay attention. Have you ever had your kid look at you right in the face and but you know that they are not paying attention to one thing you're saying. You know what I'm talking about? Don't be like that with God. It's a God who wants to be with you relationally in such a way he came and died on the cross for you. But we're too doing whatever not to pay attention. And we're like a kid that way. You know what your kids, you want to go, if you would just listen to me, please. Just one time. One time. Can I get you one time this week? If you will just listen to me, listen, your life will be better. Right? And God, I think sometimes looking at us, if you will just pay attention to me, will you listen to me? The spirit of freedom can work in your life. Please. Right? I want God to have the most devoted attention that I can give him. And I'm not talking about turning into a desert monk where all you do 24-hour day is read the Bible and be in silent. I'm not talking about that. That's nothing like I'm talking about. But I am taking time, and then my heart is always attentive to him. You see? And my heart is always attentive to his speaking and his leading and his interruptions in my life. And they're not interruptions, but if you want to see it that way, when he just kind of invades your moment, if you will. Going to him in prayer, taking decisions to him, praying over situations, like casting my cares upon him, sometimes sitting there in silence and just listening, but taking time and being attentive. You'll be amazed what the freedom of the Spirit will do in your life. Amen? But we got to be people after him in that manner. All right. Let's close up in prayer. Keep your eyes closed. Listen to me for a second. So Moses would get up on the mountain, Mount Sinai, where he met with God. I don't know if you can relate, but I can. As you know, I spent some time on some mountaintops. There is just something about the quietness, the contentment, and the peace of those places. That's why people like to go to them. You see, Margaret and I were in a time in our life where we were just looking to make some decisions. We had stepped out of youth ministry after man, 20 years, and we had, actually had a church in Dublin on a Sunday night. That was the Only Believe campus for 3.5 years. And then the whole cancer thing happened with me. And then after I came through that, after a couple of years of just settling back into life, I felt the Lord was pressing us about a step in life, but I didn't know what it was. And I had planned with some guys in June of 2020, maybe, is that the pandemic year? To go to the Rocky Mountains and do a hike, but then the pandemic shut the parks down. So our trip was in jeopardy, right? But before the pandemic, the trip was planned. I said, Lord, I am going up to Notch Back Top Mountain, and if I don't have a word from you by then, I'm going to meet you on that mountain. You're going to tell me what to do. I made a date with God on top of the mountain in Rocky Mountain National Park. And I was planning, when I got up there with the guys, telling them to keep on hiking, I was just going to hang out on this mountain and seek God by myself, right? But then the whole thing was seemed like it was canceled. But then a month before our trip, almost exactly 4 weeks before our trip, they opened the parks back up, and we got our passes to get in. But right before that happened, Pastor Dosa came to me and said, hey, some things are going on at the Urbana Church. I want you to consider going and pastoring that church. And I was like, hey, no, I don't think so. But I'll pray about it. I will pray about it. And a couple of days later, Margaret and I, we decided to come here. I still went up on the mountain right after that. And I still had a moment with him. And I tell you this story to tell you this, is that those kind of times when you purposely seek him, that these can be marked moments in your life. And I'll never forget, I was literally, we were climbing up to another place on the mountain called Sky Pond, and it was a wild hike. You had to climb up a waterfall to get there. It was crazy stuff. And you don't get cell reception at all on the mountain, but my phone started ringing. Like, what in the world? I picked up my phone. It's Pastor Dosey. He said, man, I got to talk about something. Something's going on. I need to let you know about it. And I remember I was right there. I was highly discouraged on halfway up the Sky Pond. And before we could keep talking, I lost the signal. I was like, well, that didn't help me at all. And so, but I remember we got up to that mountaintop. There's a pond up there. The guys were kind of spread out. And I literally laid down. I took a nap on top of the mountain. And I had another moment with God up there on this mountain. And in that moment, whatever he told me halfway up, I got up there and God reassured my heart. He said, relax, son. Just relax. Don't worry about it. Okay. Now I'm going to enjoy the rest of my hike. The point is that you take time for moments where you purposely seek him. You purposely want his presence. And yeah, I was wanting originally an answer to a step in life, but ultimately what I wanted was him. I just want to be with you. And that is good enough for me. And if the thing about this church didn't happen right before that, and I'd have went up to that mountain, and I didn't come down with an answer, but if I had his presence on that top of that mountain, I would have felt fulfilled. And that fulfillment would have brought peace and contentment and all the things that come with it. See, one thing I've learned is to take marked moments with him. Some of the best wisdom you ever get. You take marked moments with him and allow him to be God to you. Okay? I'm telling you. And you remember, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes you remember. There was a time that God showed up. I was riding in my car on the way to work. I turned Spotify off or whatever you listen to. And I just said, Lord, I got 10 minutes. I just want to be with you in your presence. And in that car ride, he spoke something to me I'll never forget. You'll have those moments. Or you're in the midst of a struggle, and you just don't know what to do. And you just sit down and say, I got nothing else to say because I prayed this 100 times. I need you to be God. And you allow him to have my, and you'll walk away, and later you'll say, man, there was a time I was just walking around the block. It was right before dark, and it was just me. And I was saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. And I was sort of complaining. Then I stopped, and I shut my mouth. And just out of nowhere, I just got this peace in my heart. Can't even describe it. But man, I remember that. See, you'll have these moments. Maybe not daily, maybe not weekly, maybe not monthly, but you'll have moments that mark your life. Moments that change you. Okay? But you got to pay attention. All right? Amen? All right, Lord, we thank you for being here tonight. I pray we're people of your presence, people of your word, people of that seek you, to want to know you. And I ask, Lord, that we are in this process of the change, glory to glory. Unveiled faces with the newness of the work of the Spirit, freedom being written in our hearts. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. We all say amen. All right, Sunday morning. Yeah, we're still talking about the kingdom of God. I'm excited about it. Bring somebody out. Memorial Day weekend. Yes, we still have church. Hope to see you here. And then you can celebrate Monday. Anyways, I'm kidding. Have a good week. Be blessed as you go.